Hello, and thank you for clicking on another one of our Folkin.com downloadable interviews. And we really are pleasured and pleased tonight, and lucky, because we're at a wonderful Cecil Sharp house, the home of English folk music and dance. But even better than that, we're sitting here with Naomi Bedford and Paul Simmons, and they've just done their wonderful launch of the album, Singing It All Back Home. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Hello. What a great night, I've got to say. We sat there absolutely fixated. Darren's with me here. We kept looking at each other going, well, we knew it was going to be good, but we didn't realise it was going to be quite as good as this. It was magical, I thought.
How fantastic. What a lovely response to get.
And I think that we are different live to how we are on record. You know, obviously on record we're quite perfectionists. And Naomi in particular is a meticulous perfectionist. I'm a little bit more instinctive, but we work that as a team. But when we come to play live, we break, all of that and just try to make a connection with the audience, and so we're very, very different live to how we are on record.
Yeah, we was actually just having a quick drink with Ben, who played some mandolin and banjo. Ben Walker,
He's an amazing musician, and he's so easy to work with, and he's such a funny, brilliant bloke that we
And of course, a genius, really.
One of the greatest guitar players in Britain.
So we feel very lucky having him.
If not the greatest.
Well, he's so subtle, isn't he? But lovely. You know, his little bits he does, his little runs, which is perfect for tonight.
They can do it all.
But I thought the whole thing, we was actually quite stunned by the harmonies with Donna as well.
Donna and Richie
on the guitar, amazing, the 12-string. He played 12-string for you tonight.
Yeah.
Really nice blend. And it was just sort of like, almost, I know you put this together over quite a short period of time, but it sounded like you'd been doing it for 5, 6, 7 years.
Richie and Donna, we have been singing. I mean, I've been singing with Donna for over 20 years.
That's right.
So me and Donna have been singing together since before my children were born. My oldest son is 21 this year. So I think me and Donna have been singing together for about 25 years. And Richie's been singing for about 8 or 9 years now.
So it's an idea that's developed, really, to the third album now, and something where you've brought a bigger diversity and a bigger flavour in.
It's reaching its peak at the moment.
Yeah.
Everything that we've been
doing.
Does that mean
everything's going to be downhill after this?
No.
We've got a tour to go yet.
It reached its peak, didn't I?
You've got a tour to go yet, so let's.
We've got a tour, but also I just think we've found our footing. You know, I think that there was always great potential, some of it realised, some not quite. We've made some good records, I believe, some records that I think are really great, but the public didn't hear it. And now, with the project that we're engaged in at the moment, it seems like everything is coming, everything's meeting down at the crossroads, as they say.
Oh, it sounds like Robert Johnson in the house.
Yeah, the ghost of Robert Johnson strikes again. Because the beat, songs of Scottish, Irish origin and American flavoured, obviously, the Echo Band. I was quite disappointed with one thing tonight, that you didn't ask Donald Trump to come along, because being American and Scottish and Irish, where was he?
You don't allow swearing on your programme, do you? So. Probably.
I thought he would have popped in.
From this conversation.
Yeah, he's been in London, and now I thought
here's an interesting question for your listeners, your readers. Can you imagine what music Donald Trump likes? I mean, no one's asked the question. What do you think Donald listens to? What's his favourite? Who is his favourite artist? What is his favourite music? No one knows.
But are we really in?
Bill Clinton was vocal about the music that he loved. Obama, vocal about the music that he loved. Even Bush loved, old style country and western music, fine. Yeah. Trump, has he ever said anything about music, ever? No. Never trust a politician who doesn't like any music at all.
That's right. We're not disappointed he didn't turn up.
No.
It's one thing though, there's a lot of songs on here that are instantly recognisable. Really, it's weird. I was sitting there and suddenly you think, oh yeah, I know that story, I know that song. How did you set about picking the ones? I know you like the ones like your mum's sang to you and you learnt off of your mum, but there's 12? Actually picking them, because you must have probably had quite a few. Did you have to narrow it down? Or?
Well, there were a couple that were already there that we already knew we would do. There were a couple that were set in stone. Then we did have a couple of nights where we said, let's look through the book, let's pick the songs that we're going to do. And we knew we needed, let's say, 8. And so I think the first one we picked was I Must and Will Be Married.
Yep.
And that was the first one that came about. And then I said, I like the look of this lyric, The Fateful Blow. I want to do that. I want that one. And then we said, let's work on them. Then we left it for a little while.
There was a few others that we had in mind. There was one called I Love My Love, which we were going to do. And there was another one, was it called Ian of the Hazel Green or something? What was that
one?
That
was,
I probably got the title wrong.
Jack of the Hazel Green.
Something like that. Yeah. And
I Love My Love was one that was we
were
about
to do. Yeah, so there was a couple of songs that we were going to do and...
Volume 2.
Yeah.
Obviously.
We are actually thinking of Volume 2.
What was interesting is the actual origins, because the versions are, a lot of the versions are so different. So where did you get the idea for that? How did you find
Which
those
Which ones
versions?
Do you mean?
See, Matty Groves, for an example.
That's down to Naomi. I had zero.
That was a version that my mum taught me when I was a child. And my mum was really into Tom Paley, New Lost City Ramblers, Hedy West, Gene Ritchie, so she loved all those American artists. She liked some of the English ones as well, like Shirley Collins. But she, so my mum taught me the versions, and a lot of my mum's versions came from those people that she was listening to. So
Hedy.
Yes. And she, who is my favourite of all.
That's very much in Cecil Sharp's vein, really. We're going.
Well, there she is on the wall up there on a photograph, Hedy West.
Yeah.
But also collecting, you know, collecting the old songs from the tradition, and the fact that you've actually learned those songs from your mother, who then
passed them on.
Passed them along, and then.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work.
It's the living tradition, isn't it? That's how it goes.
It's slightly different in that my mum's ones come from records. They weren't handed down to her from her mum, so it wasn't... you know, we weren't all sort of singing around the kind of campfire as children with the fiddles and, you know, all the family playing together. We weren't the Carter family or anything. But my mum... But my mum was a, you know, she had a lovely voice and she sung all the time and she loved folk music. I mean, she liked lots of other music as well, but folk music she loved. And for me as a child, and one of the things I was saying is I'm quite dyslexic, and so for me, being able to listen to, or being able to get these amazing 3-minute kind of intricate dramatic stories kind of straight into my brain without having to kind of, you know, do hours and hours of difficult reading. For me, those kind of intricate, dramatic folk stories just had a big impact on me, you know, and my mum singing them, and they just stayed with me. So I've been into all kinds of music since I was a child. So, I mean, I grew up listening to the pop music of the, you know, of the 80s and 70s, 80s, 90s, and punk and new wave, bands like The Men They Couldn't Hang. But I was really into hip-hop as well, and particularly into kind of really conscious lyric, political...
Public Enemy version of... Bring the Noise.
I do my own version of Bring the Noise by Public Enemy. I've done that at a few gigs. And but folk music was the main one I think I really wanted to focus on because of the stories. I love these kind of... It's the stories.
Yeah, some really dark stories as well. You did the dark one tonight about a child killing.
Saw Mother.
Nice. Yeah. You know, charming. But, you know, the dark side of folk's always been there, isn't it? You know, it's all about
because,
that.
Obviously, my background is with The Men They Couldn't Hang, and the very first song I ever wrote for The Men They Couldn't Hang was Hush Little Baby.
Yeah, I was just going to mention
which
that
which is completely resonant with the Appalachian songs, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Hush Little Baby is basically an Appalachian song that I really cribbed from loads of other songs and added a tiny little bit of my own self, but mainly it was a pastiche, really.
Yeah.
I don't mind admitting that whatsoever, but it did show the way. Although I wasn't in the same way as you were, I still had a kind of attraction that I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's almost subconscious, isn't it?
Waiting to happen to me.
It's almost subconscious.
Yeah.
It is. It creeps in. It's a, you know, like...
I'm a narrative songwriter, so eventually I had to end up here.
Really.
That's right. Yeah. So also, I mean, there's so many different artists that have come in to make this album. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Lisa Nat. Haven't mentioned Rory as well.
Which one do you want to do first?
Oh, well, I say first of all, Rory's dad was also called Rory McLeod, and Rory's dad was friends with my dad. My dad was a film editor, and he did loads of kind of old. Music videos my dad did, so he did all promos for people like people like the Undertones, the Jam,
the Great Rock and Roll Swindle.
He did
Poison Arrow, Sade,
I mean he did masses
of the night,
yeah,
the Rolling Stones,
Yeah.
He's big.
So he did loads of that kind of stuff. He really sort of did everything that Julian Temple did.
Yeah.
And so I found out about Rory McLeod through my dad, because he was friends with Rory McLeod's dad, who was called Rory McLeod. And you know, I was introduced to him when I was a sort of teenager, really, or his music. And I've always wanted to work with him. I've kind of met him a few times backstage at gigs over the years. And he's such a nice bloke and a brilliant musician and a real kind of unique one-off musician, I think, with his amazing rhythmatic kind of whole body, really, that he kind of puts into his music. And then Lisa, when we were about
kids.
18, really.
Right.
And so I met her, we were doing an English GCSE class together in a night class, because neither of us had got it at school, I think, so we were doing an evening course. And so I kind of got her to join my first bands, and my first bands were kind of folk bands. So my bands were kind of mash-up of my influences at the time, really, were The Men They Couldn't Hang, The Pogues, and Shirley Collins, Hedy West, all those kind of people. And so I co-opted Lisa to join the band, really, that I was in, and we've been friends ever since, really, since we were teenagers.
Naomi and Lisa have been friends since they were teenagers.
Yeah.
I've known Rory off and on since 1984, because of course The Men played often with Rory McLeod as we went around. I've known Rory all the time, and that was, you know, it was interesting stuff to play with him.
Is there ever a plan to actually get everyone together that's been involved in
the whole
album
if anybody has a budget that they can give us, then absolutely we would.
We would need a proper budget. Do you know what a funny thing about is that this album is going boom at the moment. So never say never. I think
I would definitely
come October when we're playing in London at St Pancras Church.
Yeah, I think
if it's going well, then if we've got a budget and we start to sell out that show and sell tickets, maybe we'll do a whole representation.
It would be wonderful if we could do that at some of the festivals as well, because so often Paul and I play as a duo, and we love playing as a duo.
Yeah.
It's easy for us to
budget
get,
too.
But budget as well. I mean, it's so difficult to pay. You want to pay everybody a decent
amount of
money to play with you. You don't want everyone just coming out and being, you know, and yet we sort of are mostly being booked all the time as a duo. So I'm hoping that this album gets some festival bookings where they want us to come with a band. We are definitely up for getting them all.
Brilliant. Yeah. So it's very special tonight. Obviously, this isn't something that's generally repeated, is it? You're not going to be taking the off.
As I said, I think to some friends that, you know, in 1985 or 4 even, I played maybe only 400 metres down here at Dublin Castle with The Men They Couldn't Hang.
Mm.
And on that night, I had to stop the PA from falling over by having one hand to stop it toppling over and the other hand playing my mandolin, as we had a rocking, roaring, packed as sardines, full house, going mental. It's only 400 metres from the home of English folk music.
Yeah, and what was the pub? It was the
Dublin Castle.
Dublin Castle, yeah.
And yet I thought that at that point we were revolutionising English folk music as well. I think that is not too much of a stretch to say that we changed it. We brought it into people's navigation. We brought it to many people who would never have known it before, you know. In the same way that The Clash brought country music to me when they took Joe Ely on the 16 Tons tour.
Yeah,
I'd never heard it before, and I was like, oh. And I was lucky enough to play with Joe Ely in Canada a couple of years later when I was with The Men. And I said to him, would have never listened to your music, but The Clash brought you, you know. And I started to get into it. And so in the same way, you know, for The Men playing at the Dublin Castle, revolutionised, kicking English folk music into a punk, rocking way.
Yeah.
But still doing,
In the same way the Pogues were for
the Pogues
Irish,
were doing it for Irish music. We did it for English music. And I just thought, it's such a long way from the Dublin Castle to Cecil Sharp House. But it's not...
It's not
miles.
That far around, is
it's
it?
It's only very close.
Yeah,
but it's actually taken 35 years for them to let me in here to play.
You talk
I don't
about
think they
momentum.
Knew you were coming, Paul. It was me they were booking.
I know, but it's just... For me, it's quite an emotional moment.
I'm only joking.
It's an emotional moment. I think, you know, I think we did try, and certainly I was conscious that we were trying to, you know, refresh things.
Yeah.
Sure.
They probably wanted to lock up the bar before you came and
you know what
protect
I mean?
The lampshades.
But the thing is, we wanted to take folk music back to where it came from.
Yeah, I think you're right, because
they've only let me in when I'm in my late 50s.
Well,
I can't do any damage, you know. In my late 20s, it would have been a bloody different story.
And it's gone full circle, really, hasn't it?
It's a full circle.
It's gone full circle because, you know, that momentum is building. I mean, we haven't mentioned it, but that amazing piece you had in The Guardian.
Yeah.
Yes, it's been great
So, you know, the momentum is building.
Something is happening.
All the reviews have been stunning, though,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, something has
not had a bad word said about
we've
it.
We've got the lead
happening.
Review
I don't know what it
in
is,
Mojo. We've got the lead review in Mojo, didn't
yes.
we? The lead folk review.
Yes.
Yeah. And the folk album of the month in
yep.
Guardian. And we've had like 4 or 5 stars in all of the, you know, in the Morning Star. And had great comments from Neil McCormack in the Telegraph. We've had Roots and
not sure
song
what's
lines
happening. Something's happening.
Well, certainly, Di Jeffrey certainly loved it as well. The when I passed the album,
oh yeah, so we had a lovely folk
yeah.
Yeah.
from Di,
you know,
as well,
so. Like you said, any album with yeah. Naomi Bedford's on, it's worth a listen. You know, let alone adding Paul Simmons.
I know Di, you know, done me before. So,
right,
there's an avalanche of dates coming in. At
yeah,
the moment,
so, festival organisers, well,
yeah, all that.
Naomi,
yeah,
it's been a lovely talking to you, and I really enjoyed the gig. Paul, fantastic night. Thank you for bringing us here. It's
thank
been absolutely
both.
Wonderful.
Thank
it's goodbye from me, and goodbye from Darren.
All right.
See you later. Bye. Thanks for listening.
Thank
bye.
You.
Bye.
Thank you.